Now, so the question begs to be asked, is it possible to feel, to live your life feeling refreshed, full of life, empowered, fulfilled, and fructiferous, which simply means fruit producing? Is it possible to do that? And the answer to that question really lies into the reason why we're doing the series. And I believe that, you know, that the reason why people kind of stay away from the Holy Spirit is really two reasons. Number one, they've seen a bunch of weird stuff. And, you know, they've seen people, you know, pushed back, falling down. They've seen people running around, people on the ground, barking like a dog, and, you know, holy laughter and all this other stuff. And it leads to the second thing, which is confusion. People don't really have a full understanding of it. And sometimes some things that, you know, the devil takes and perverts what God has really meant for good. And I remember my first, it's really my second, I'll tell you the first one briefly. My mom, when I was growing up, she used to take me to, there was a Sheraton Hotel in Kingston, Jamaica, this thing called, they used to have these prayer breakfasts. I was all of like 6, 7. I didn't really fully understand what was going on. But the first time I really kind of came to terms with, really, what do I believe about the Holy Spirit was Donna. She was in, I don't know what grade she was in, but she couldn't drive. And so I was the leader of the, I was the student ministry, as a youth leader. And she asked me if I could take her to this church of a friend of hers who, a friend was just kept talking about her youth group. So we went, and there's Donna. This girl's name was Lizette. And I remember us going to the church, and we were having youth meeting, and it seemed pretty cool. And then at the end of youth meeting, they says, okay, now we're going to turn off all the lights. And they did, and the place was pitch black. I mean, we couldn't see anything, and they're like, okay, we want everybody to get down on your knees, buy your chairs there, whatever. And then we started hearing people running around and people screaming on the top of their lungs. And Donna and I were like right there. We couldn't see each other. I was just like, and I was thinking, I got to get out of here, all right? And then I hear stuff like, sounds like bats flying. I heard all kind of stuff happening. Now, some of that probably wasn't happening, but that was what was going on inside my head. And I touched her, and she goes, are you scared? And I'm like, yes. She's like, you want to leave? I'm like, yes. And we dipped. Okay, so she didn't know that. We got out of there, and, you know, and after that, I was like, all right, this is really too spooky for me. You know, this whole ghost thing, I'm not really into. You know, I have to respect the ghost thing. And I stayed away. And anytime anybody brought up the topic of the Holy Spirit, it just this experience kept coming back in my mind. And I'm like, you know, kind of stay away. But my goal, about 6 years ago, and I shared this with you last week, I had an experience, and I'll tell you about that in a little bit. And in that experience, I started studying, and studying, and studying, and studying. And what I learned is what I want to share with you over the course of these five-week series. Now, the first thing, last week we talked, so we've been taking some terms, and we've been defining some terms. And last week, we talked about the term baptism. And baptism, we said, simply means to be immersed under. It is like baptism was practiced before Christianity came around. It was an initiation. It was an identification that says, I'm with this group, and I'm under the authority of this group. That's all the word really means. And so we talked about a couple different baptisms mentioned in the Bible. There are about seven in all, but really three that are really important to us for the purposes of this series. We're talk about the first one is the baptism of salvation, right? It's not a physical water baptism, but it's really, the Bible talks about it, that when you receive Christ and ask Jesus to come in, you get baptized into Jesus' body. It's in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 3. You get baptized into Jesus' body. And you get the benefits of that, which his body is the church. So you get the benefits of all the folks being around you. And you also get the benefit of Jesus and his spirit living inside of you, because your body is also the temple of the Holy Spirit. So that's salvation, and that happens one time. And then we talked about the baptism of identification, which is water baptism. It's saying, hey, I identify with Christ, and you talk about wearing the ring. It's like a wedding ring. You say to the world, I'm identified with Christ. And I want to pause here, and somebody asked me over the course of the week, they asked me, can I get baptized again? And so I'll just pause here and say that if you were baptized as a child and your parents just kind of made you do it, and you just kind of did it, and you didn't know what you're really signing up for, even though you went through all the classes, I believe that there's nothing wrong with that. But you don't have to. It's like when I get married, I get a wedding ring. I can renew my vows, but I'm really married one time, right? So that's kind of the answer to that question, in case other people had that question. But the third thing that I want to talk about today is really the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is what I call empowerment, and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So the question may be asked is, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And I'm glad you asked that question. See, I knew you were going to ask that question. And in order for you to understand that, I'll take you back to the story that we've been unfolding when Jesus was given his last instructions. And when the week before Jesus died, he had his last supper. If it were in America today, it would be the last dinner. All right, just simply a Passover meal, Passover. And he was telling them about some things that were going to happen. And he said this in John 14 to 17. You can read it. And, you know, I see Sister Gallimore is here, you know. And Pastor Jerry always says, I can show it to you in the Bible. And I can show it to you in the Bible. Just read John 14 through 17, those three chapters. But Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says this. It is better for you. It is more advantageous for you that I go. And it's kind of interesting that he's saying that because it was pretty cool hanging out with Jesus. Because when you hung out with Jesus, you always got food. You didn't really have to pay for it, really, because you just like made more bread and fish. And you always got a good show. You could see somebody getting healed. And so Jesus was a pretty cool guy to hang out with back then. And Jesus talked about the religious leaders, and that was pretty cool too, because you get to see him put some big guys in their place. And so when Jesus said, it's more advantageous to you that I leave, the disciples probably like, okay, where are you going with this? Because I don't want you to go, etc. But he says, I'm going to send somebody who's even better than me. And he describes him. He says that he's going to be a helper, a comforter, and an advocate. He's going to be an advocate with God. He's going to be a guide for life and a person who would tell them what God wants them to do, how to do it, and would tell them of even things that have not yet occurred. It's called prophecy. And so, and then he said this, which is we covered for the past 2 weeks, but building a story here, he said this. You know him, for he dwells with you, and soon he will be in you. And last week we talked about the two prepositions that was there, which was you know him, for he dwells alongside you. See, Jesus' spirit, God's spirit, has always been in the world. And for the Jewish people, God's spirit was always there in the Holy of Holies. And so they could always find God's spirit, but God's spirit sometimes was close to them, sometimes was far away from them. And even sometimes God's spirit even left them, and we talked about that last week. But then he says, but soon he will be in you. And the word that he used there is a word means inside. And the disciples would have been like flabbergasted, because now the Spirit of God would live inside of them and never to leave them, would infuse their DNA. And so they were like really excited about that, kind of confused, but excited that would happen. And then on the day, so this is a week before Jesus died, but on the day he resurrected himself from the dead, that Sunday, a week after he said this, he appeared to his disciples and he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And that was the moment that the Holy Spirit came inside of them, fulfilling that verse. Came full of inside of them. So, but then, watch this. And you got to follow me on this, right? So a week after, the Holy Spirit comes inside of them. Then he was seen many times over a 40-day period in Acts 1. Luke tells us that over the next 40 days, he was seen many times and spoke about matters concerning the kingdom of God. So 40 days after they received the breathing of the Holy Spirit. And while he was with them, he declared, so one of the times he said, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here for what the Father promised, which you've heard about from me. For John baptized with water, but soon you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. This is sometime after he breathed in them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So he told them, he's like, wait here for the promise. But you think they already got it. But he went on to say, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And he goes on and say, what happens when that happens? He says, when that happens, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the furthest parts of the world. So he used the word, soon you've always known him because he's beside you. Soon he's inside of you, so he's inside of them now. But then he uses a different preposition. He uses a preposition, epi, which means upon. It's literally upon when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And if I were to describe it, is when the Holy Spirit comes beside you, around you, on top of you, inside of you, and underneath you, you'll be my witnesses. You'll receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the world. As I read this, I get excited because I think, wow. And I joke all the time because, you know, you can say wow backwards and it's still pretty impressive. Wow. Wow. All right, just think about that for a second. I told a guy that the other day. He says, hey, you know, if you turn it upside down, it says mom. Okay. So I want you to think about it, about what this actually means. What this actually means is that if you consider Jesus or the Spirit of God as air that you breathe, when the Spirit comes upon you, it's like standing in the middle of a hurricane. It's like standing where wind is all around you, I should say, standing in the eye of a hurricane. And you're there and all this power is around you and you're in the middle of all this power. And it's an amazing thing because, as I told you before, and it's a true story, during our last storm, I went outside, not very wise, but I went outside and I was marveling at the power of the storm. And so that's what it is when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It is another analogy, and I'll talk about why I use this analogy in a second. It's like when you become saved, you receive a drink of water. You receive a full dose of spiritual water, which is the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's like not only drinking the water, it's like stepping into the water. And it's not only like stepping into the water, it's like diving off into the water. And the water is above you, around you, beside you, beneath you. And you are completely engulfed by the power of the water. And that's what it means when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the Bible uses another word that oftentimes people get confused and they said, are these two words the same? The answer is, I believe it is, that it used filled with the Holy Spirit. So, 9 times the Bible uses baptized with the Holy Spirit. 11 times it uses filled with the Holy Spirit. But they use it all within the same context. The idea is that if you were drinking water, if you decide that I'm going to drink enough water that would fill you up till it started to come out and start, you keep drinking, it just flows around you. And you just fill to overflowing and overflowing and overflowing and overflowing. That's what it means. Filled with the Spirit and baptized with the Spirit means the same thing. But I do want to point out a couple things to you with respect to that. With respect to that is that when that happens, and it's something amazing happens, you go from living an ordinary Christian life to a super ordinary Christian life. your Bible study goes from an ordinary Bible study to a super ordinary Bible study. Your prayer life goes from an ordinary prayer life to a super ordinary prayer life. It is like you being like in a windmill, standing up, and the wind is just gentle, and it's just barely moving, it's doing its thing. And then a big storm comes by, and the power from the wind is pushing the windmill, which you're the windmill, and you're generating power from the power of the wind. And you're generating power, you're just channeling that power. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And you know, God says, I got work. I got work for you to do here. And you need that power in order to do that work. You can't do that work. You can try to do that work, but you can't do that work without that power that I'm going to give you if you ask for it. If you ask for it. And we see, you know, that word that the Bible uses as power is a word that you know, we have our English translation of the word dynamite. And the way I think about it, you guys know me, you guys, you know, heard me speak before, that I always transport myself into the time where that's being written. And I imagine the disciples thinking about this when he's saying this is like they're walking down a road and there's a big wall, a roadblock, and the Holy Spirit just comes like dynamite and then you just walk on through. No matter what obstacles that come your way, and you walk on through. That is the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. And we see in Acts 2 what happened when His Holy Spirit, when God's Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, and there was more than 12, there was a bunch of them in this room. They're there waiting. When the Holy Spirit power came upon them, you can read it in Acts 2, something amazing happened. Peter, the guy who a few days before, probably 53 days before, literally 53 days before, somebody says, hey, you know Jesus? He's like, nah. Girl said, I know you, you know Jesus. He's like, nah, never seen the dude. I almost made a joke, but if you're a certain political persuasion, you wouldn't like it. The third time I ask him, Peter's like, expletive no. He's like, I don't know the dude. I've never seen the dude. I don't even know what you're talking about. This same Peter, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he got out and he stood in front of a crowd and he preached. And 3,000 people came to know God, came to know Jesus in a real way, that way. That is a testament to when the power of God comes upon you and you're baptized in this power and it's beside, on top, beneath, underneath, inside and all of you. This is what you're able to accomplish. And you know, I got to stress here because sometimes people get confused about it because it's what some people teach. It's absolutely not the case, is that this is separate from salvation, but salvation is a precursor. You got to first receive the Holy Spirit inside of you before He can come on top of you in that way. Right? Then somebody asked me the other day, well, do I have to get water baptized before? I'm like, no. The only precursor is that you receive Jesus. And by the way, I can show it to you in Acts where I say that. And the second thing is that the where salvation is one time, what I'm talking about here, you can wind is like waves. You don't have, you know, sustained winds that go on forever. So wind comes just like waves of water comes in waves. And so sometimes you can feel up here. You just like, and then sometimes you feel it down and you get refilled again. And, you know, you get refilled again. So it's something that can happen. But you can ask for refilling more than once. But I believe that there's a point in time when the first time when you do that, something special happens. And we're going to talk about spiritual gifts next week. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about spiritual gifts as it relates to that. And the similar thing with other baptisms is that you have to ask for it. Now, there are some cases where you don't, and God just pours it out on you. But generally speaking, you got to ask for it. So why do you need this? Why do you need this? And I simply believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is necessary for you to live life victoriously. For you to have power over living this life, I believe that you need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to do that, to accomplish the mission that God has set out for you, and the mission that he laid out before he left earth. So I believe that there's many manifestations of this power, but I'm going to give you three that I want you to think about throughout the rest of this. And there's more, but again, we can talk afterwards. The first one is he gives you, I believe, power over your emotions. When you get this power in high, you get some power over your emotions. And you may say, what do you mean by that, Gary? And I'm like, I'm glad you asked, because I'll tell you what I mean by that. We talked about this the first week, is that the Holy Spirit is like a breath of fresh air. The presence of the Holy Spirit lifts you out of the doldrums. It literally changes. He changes your outlook over your situation. Whatever you're going through, you find out that you have the power of the Holy Spirit on top of you and working in your life. The circumstances that you're in, you get a new attitude. I think there's a song about that. In Romans 8:6, you know, Paul says this here. He's like, and this is the second part of the verse. He says, letting your spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Whenever you let the spirit control your mind, it leads to life and peace. And you'll find that when you do that, issues that bother you, somebody talking about you, somebody gossiping about you is like, ooh, I don't like that. I don't like that Camille. I don't like, it's just like, and you hear about it, it's like, that's all right. You find that when the boss gets on your case, you're like, man, I'm just going to pray for him. I'm just going to pray the blood of Jesus over him. And you just keep on going on. You find that when you have some relationship issues and stuff, you can have a different attitude about that. You discover that words in the Bible, that God's words start to come alive in your life in ways that you didn't think of. You start to think of Romans 8:28, just like, all right, this bad thing happened to me, but I know that all things work together. I know when they have a head knowledge, I feel it. I feel it. I'm like, man, this is rough, but I believe that all things work together for good. I know that sorrow may last for one night, as the verse says and the song paraphrases, but joy comes in the morning. I know that when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I can fear no evil because God is with me. I know these things, and I'm going to walk boldly. And it's not saying that your circumstances are not hard, but you got a new attitude. Ooh, 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 ooh. I think I remember the song. I think you do too. And you know, people try to get this life and peace. They try to get peace in their mind by pursuing all these mood-altering substances. They'll take meds. I work for an insurance company, and we're saying, all right, no more OxyContin. You know, we're not giving out any more of those opioids. Because people take opioids to, you know, and illegal ones like heroin and stuff like that, to alter their minds, to escape, to make them feel better about their circumstances. Some people use all the illegal drugs. Some people use weed, which is, I guess, a legal drug in some places. And some people use weed and they're like, man, I need a smoke. Other people like, which is really what's very socially acceptable, other people like, I need a drink. I need a drink. Where I go to work all the time, I got to do business dinners, and then people's like, man, I can't wait for this meeting over. I need a drink. Oh, this meeting was tough. I need a drink. And I'm like, why do you need a drink? It's like, man, I just need to feel better because this. And God's like, you need to understand something. You need to understand something. You need to understand that you shouldn't be drunk with wine because that will mess you up. that may mess you up. If you rely on mood altering substances to make you get through life, that will mess you up. So don't be drunk with that, but let me give you a much better mood altering substance. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Because that not only changes it till the buzz goes down, that changes you. That changes your outlook on life. And when you do that, the verse goes on to tell you that you're, you know, praying and speaking and psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What will happen is that your speech and your language and all that will change. You start to speak to each other differently. And things start to happen. Things just start to happen. And He, God, Jesus, His Holy Spirit, I'm here to tell you, is the best mood-altering substance ever. Ever. But not only does He give you power over your emotions that leads to life and peace, He gives you power over your circumstances. He gives you power over your circumstances. And let's face it, life can be tough. We can go through some problems. We can go through some tough stuff. You know, you may be here and you're about to lose a job, or your marriage may be in a wreck, and maybe broke. Not only broke, but flat broke. Difference. You know, people say broke like a church mouse. I've never seen a mouse with money, so I don't know how broke a church mouse can be, because I've never seen a rich mouse. Anyway, that was free. That wasn't in my notes. I just thought about that. You may be facing a major illness. This week, a good friend of mine called me, and she told me her husband had prostate cancer, and they're going to have to do surgery, and she asked me to pray for her. So that may be you facing a major illness or whatever it is. And oftentimes, the Holy Spirit wants to change more than your attitude about your circumstance. Sometimes He wants to change your circumstance. He wants to, like, look, I don't want you to only feel good about losing your job. I want you to have a job. And that job which they told you is going to be gone, all of a sudden you walk in Monday morning and your job is back. And that manager who hated you, and that manager is gone. I remember one time there was a manager that he was moving up in the company really fast. He was a chief financial officer. That guy was a thorn in my flesh. I almost called his name. In the name of Jesus, I almost called his name. But just in case he's listening, I won't. But you know who you are. The year was 1999. And he was just on me, trying to get me fired. And I'm like, man, I don't know what to do. I tried praying to feel better about him. I tried to love him anyway. And then one day I says, God, in the name of Jesus, remove this man from being a thorn. And you want to know, the Monday I went into work, I saw a notice that that guy was leaving the company to take a job at another company. I was like, whoa. To be honest, I was shocked. I was like, which I shouldn't be, right? Because God, when His Holy Spirit comes upon you, you get oftentimes power over your circumstances. You get power where things change. Dead things come back to life. Your job could be dead, comes back to life. Your marriage could be dead. Your marriage comes back to life many years ago. And some of you guys know this person, but I won't call his name. He and his wife were getting a divorce. And just so happens that it was God orchestrated that they were headed to the courthouse where they were going to sign the papers and everything. And one of them didn't have a ride. So the other one had to pick them up to go get the divorce. True story. And in the car over, they decided that they didn't really want to get a divorce. 30 years later, they're still married. God, through His power of His Holy Spirit, can have power over your circumstances to bring the dead back to life. And and you know, and the cool thing about it is that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, another thing that happens is that your prayer life comes alive. Your prayer study life comes alive, and it comes alive where there's like nothing between you and God, and you're like talking, and it's like just God and me, talking. And it's an amazing thing. And if you've never experienced anything like this, I can tell you that I have, is an amazing thing. Where your spirit and God's spirit just like bam, 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 right in there, communicating with each other. And and what happens many times with that, it does something. It unlocks power over the natural. The natural course of events is that the doctors say you're going to die. But a year and 2 years later, you're still living. And by the way, folks, I'm not talking about any hocus pocus stuff. We see it all the time. We have another name for power over the natural. We just simply call it a miracle. And we see miracles happening all the time. You know, so that's what happens when the power of the Holy Spirit is working. Oftentimes, he works through that power to produce power over the natural to create a miracle. Sometimes, in your prayer life, and this happens in two ways. You don't know what to pray for. I don't know if that's ever happened to you that, you know, you like sit down in your prayer life and you like, you don't know what to pray for. Or sometimes what happens is that you're overwhelmed and you may be praying the wrong thing or you may be praying incorrectly, whatever. But something happens sometimes when you don't have the words to say. And in Romans 8:26, he says this, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And he gives an example. For example, if we don't know what God wants us to pray for, then we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groaning and words that cannot be expressed in words. I don't know about you. When I think about the Holy Spirit inside of me, praying for me, that is amazing. And it's not like how they use it on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. You know, the guy's always amazing. He's an amazing guy. He's awesome. The girl too. But that's amazing that the Holy Spirit prays for me. But then again, there's another time when I am so burdened about something. I'm just overwhelmed. It's like, oh my God, I'm so burdened. And or I could be in a moment where I'm just overwhelmed with love and adoration and praise for what God has done for me and who I am with him. And the English language or language only has certain words that can express things a certain way. And you're looking for the right words. And it's usually, I don't want to embarrass my wife again, but it's usually in a moment of passion. It's like, oh man, I wish I could find the right words to tell you how what I'm feeling inside of me right now. And the only word I can come up with is love. I don't have any other words for that. And the Holy Spirit says, I got some other words for you. It's not in your language. It's in a whole nother language. Sometimes somebody may know the language, but sometimes the Bible tells us that it could be the language of angels. And you start, the Holy Spirit starts to pray, the prayer of the Spirit, and using an angelic language. And we're going to talk about that some more next week. But he's praying for you, and your soul is getting refreshed, and your body's getting refreshed, and you don't really know what you're saying, but you know the words are saying what you wanted to say. That's my Holy Spirit. It's mine. It's yours too. Praying for me. Praying through me in unknown to me language, but known to God. And God knows what he's talking about. Folks, when you're filled to the overflowing of the Spirit, when you're filled to overflowing with the Spirit, when it overflows so much that you are baptized with that Spirit, amazing things happen in your prayer life. And the things that come as a result or as an outcome of your prayer life. The last power that I want to talk about today is probably, well, I'll just say it's the one that I want to spend the most amount of time on today. It's this power to live and power to tell. Power to live and to tell. And for everyone who has accepted God's gift of salvation, for every one of us who has done that, for one of us that God's Holy Spirit upon their life, God says, look, I have a job for you to do. I have a role for you to play in building his kingdom. And by the way, there's no job that's more important than the other, but I've equipped you and you and you and me to do a specific job. And that's your job. And if you don't do that job, the kingdom doesn't grow and the kingdom doesn't function the way that it's supposed to function. And by the way, the mission is the same. It's like if you're going out to war. Not everybody is out front with a gun. There are people in logistics. There are people in transportation. There are people back, you know, work. They're computer programmers. They're doing this. But all of them are out fighting the same objective, the same mission. When God left, he gave us a mission. He gave us a mission that is in Matthew, when we call it the Great Commission. And so, you know, he said, look, I want you to go in Matthew 28:19 and make disciples of all nations. If I have it there. I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I want you to teach these new disciples all the commands that I've given you. So I'm going to break it down for you. I'm going to break it down into, this is Gary Wallace's paraphrase of that. This is a paraphrase. As you are living out your life and your purpose, tell your story. As you're living out your life, that word go, it's kind of like present tense. It's as you're going throughout your life, make disciples. As you're living your life in your day-to-day functions, as you are living out your life, make disciples. Well, how do you make disciples? You make disciples, but people watch you. And they see you living, and they see, first of all, is he living what he's preaching? The second is he's preaching what he's living. And so we have our purpose in life is for living out the job God called us to do. Our purpose is for living out that life, and our story is for telling. Because there's a story to how we got to living out that life. And our story is for telling. And he told them and says, you can do this. He didn't say you can do this, the implication. He said, you can't do this without my supernatural power. You can try to do it. You can do it as best as you can. But in order for you to do it right, you need my supernatural power. And you know, he's like, he says, I call you to do your job. And sometimes we worry about people getting, you know, like people getting saved and et cetera. It's like, look, sometimes I call you to plant, and sometimes I call you to water. But you need to understand, it's I'm the one who makes it grow. Do your job. Do your job. Do your job because I've equipped you to do your job, but you need power to do your job. Because what happens is that you wonder why the time that, there are two things that happen. One, for some people, they don't know what their job is. You don't know what your job is. And you're like, you know, Pastor Gary, I hear that you say that I have a job, but I don't know what my job is. And the reason why you don't know what your job is, I'm going to tell you in a second. But for some of you, you know what your job is, but every time you try to do it, obstacles come in your way. And you can't seem to understand why these obstacles come in your way. And now the bill is due. Somebody left the job and I can't leave the job because it's going to leave them in a lurch. And just, you know, fill in the blanks, you know, what happens. And the reason why you either don't know what your purpose is or you find out that you have difficulty accomplishing your purchases because purpose is because you're wrestling not against flesh and blood. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against some things, some spirits and things in the unseen world. And you can't fight spirit with flesh. You got to fight spirits with spirits. It's like me coming out with a knife and you got a big old M16. And you know, and we have these spiritual forces. They like talk to our minds. They put little roadblocks in our way. It was like, oh, and we possess dynamite to blow these roadblocks away and blow these obstacles away. But we are not using this dynamite that we have available to us. And we worry. We certainly don't find our purpose. And another thing which we most struggle with, most of all, because some of us, a lot of us have found, yeah, this is my niche. A lot of us won't tell our story. We're scared to tell our story. We're scared because people ridicule us. You know, we work for the school system, and if we tell our story, we may get fired. Or if we talk about it at work, we won't get promoted or whatever. Talk about our friends, they won't like us. They'll unfriend us or whatever they do. They'll block us. Like all this Jesus talk, I don't hear anything about it. The fact is, your story is your story. Nobody can complain with a story that's like, look, once I was blind and now I can see. Who's going to argue with that? It's like, how did that happen? Well, I prayed and Jesus gave me back my eyesight. There's nobody who's going to fire you over that. That's your story. And, you know, I see it, and I'm going to talk a little about something in a second. Well, I'll talk about it now. I saw it at our Fun Fest. At our Fun Fest, I saw people congregated in groups. And by the way, we have no problem serving food. We have no problems driving a bus or a trailer. We have no problems cooking some food or whatever, registering some people. We have no problems doing that. But we saw people sitting over there, nobody's talking to them. And I'm like, guys, go tell your story. Go introduce yourself and go strike up a conversation. Have a conversation. You're not going to go and shove a Bible down your throat. You're just going to talk. And if God opens up a way, you tell your story. And I never want to see, and that's been a characteristic of kind of us, and I don't want that to be anymore. That we can't shut up about our story. You know, the Apostle Peter, same guy, same Peter, he was scared of a little schoolgirl that I told you about before. And he got this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so the Acts is filled with story of him and the rest of the apostles doing their living and their telling. But one story that it's told, it's found in Acts 4. Man, if you don't read the Bible, you're just missing out. The Bible is filled with all kinds of stuff. It's got everything. It's got love stories in there. It got war stories in there. It got all kinds of stuff in there. And you know, you really should. Not just because I'm preaching, which you really should. So anyway, Peter, they're walking into the temple one day, and this man who's lame from birth. And he's like begging for money. And they're like, look, we don't have any money. But I can give you something else. And he says, hey, look, man, just get up. Just get up. The guy got up, and he started walking around. But not only walking, he started running, and he started jumping, and he started praising God. And by the way, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, did that. And when we talk about gifts next week, we're going to talk about why he was able to do that. But the guy gets up, and so they arrest him. The same dudes, same people who arrested Jesus, the same group of leaders. They arrested Peter and James and John. They knew what would happen to them because they seen Jesus. And so they're like, they arrested him and they brought the man there too. And they said to him, you know, they said, by whose power did you do this? And so he said, and Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. I love that. Filled with the Holy Spirit because he had power to say what he's going to say. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man is before you healed. I like that. He looked at, you crucified. This is like, I can imagine him just pointing and all the people looking on. And the men, the Bible says, the men couldn't say anything really because they saw the man standing there. So they're like, all right, they didn't know what to do. So they're like, look, go and don't tell anybody else about this or you're going to be in a whole lot of trouble. And then this is what Peter and James and John says, as for us, man, we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard. And folks, that's what I want for us today as a church leaving this building, that we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen, what we have heard, what we've lived, what we are living, what we've experienced, and what we are currently experiencing. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for me. That's what I want for us as a church. You know, as I close this off, I want to close by telling you a story. I was saved. I've been saved for a long time. Got saved as a kid, and there are times, you know, through my teenage years, I was playing what I call a plastic Jesus game. Plastic Jesus game is that I got Jesus there and I live my life, and whenever I need Jesus, I go and find Jesus. And then I was like, I don't know, 19 or so, when I decided to commit my life. And in committing my life, I truly believe that's really when I started to understand what it was to be saved, right? And I'd heard God speaking to me at many different times, but I still didn't know really what I was supposed to be doing. But what I wasn't doing, most of all, was I wasn't telling anybody anything. Man, the conversation would have to be there where somebody asked me a question before I would share my faith with them. And I tell you that back then, nobody would ever mistake me for a preacher or a teacher, or God forbid, it says God forbid, because God didn't forbid, a pastor. And let's do a number of circumstances. A number of people spoke to me and spoke into my life and said some things to me that I'm like, you got the wrong person. They told me I'd be standing up here today. I'm like, you got the wrong person. You got the wrong person. And now I believe that these people that had the gift of prophecy, there are some that didn't. But God could speak to anything, including a donkey. And one day, I was standing on the stage during worship time. And I was praising God. I was leading worship. And the power of the Holy Spirit came on top of me. And I tell you that my life changed. My life changed. Because ever since that day, and I'll go into it more next week, I can't shut up. Don't sit beside me on a plane, because I got you for hours. And I'm not obnoxious about it, but there are 100,000 different ways to tell your story. One of my favorite ways is I love to work on sermons on the plane, and I have my screen bright. And I sit in the middle seat, and somebody's like, they're like, what you doing? Reel them in. Let's tell your story. You know, a story I told you in Acts 3 and 4. After Peter, James, and John were released from the guys that day, they went back to the rest of to the disciples and the rest of the church. They really went to a prayer meeting. As they were in that prayer meeting, they were praying about kind of what happened, and they knew the threats. And in Acts 4:29, they prayed this. They said, Lord, consider their threats. But enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. That was the prayer that he did. He says, enable your servant to speak the word of great boldness. And this, every sermon has a takeaway. And this is the takeaway that I'm asking you to do, to consider today, is to ask the Lord for empowerment that only comes from a filling, or maybe you've already done it, but a refilling and a baptism of His Holy Spirit. I encourage you to do that because your life will change. And sometimes you may ask, well, what happens next? I don't know what happens next. It's a prayer of faith. Some people, fireworks goes off. And some people, they just know that God has answered their prayers. And so you may expect in this gift of tongues or the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing, and that may not happen, but it's a prayer of faith. It's like salvation. But you ask the Lord for that, and what happens next is going to blow your mind like dynamite. I like what happened after they prayed. They prayed this prayer here. After they prayed that, they says, consider your servant and enable us to speak your word with boldness. What happens next? It said that when they had that prayer, the place that they were gathered together, the place started shaking. The place started shaking. And all of them there was filled with the Holy Spirit. It didn't say right there that they began to speak in tongues. He says what happened is that they began to speak the word of God with boldness. When you ask God for that, amazing things happen. So as I go to prayer and the praise team sings a song, More and More, I'm going to be up front here. And if there's anybody who just like me to pray for them, I just want to just pray over you. And pray that God's Holy Spirit will come on top of you, around you, beside you, underneath you. And that you will have power over your emotions, your circumstances, power to live, and power to tell. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just rise as I pray, and I'll be up front while the praise team is singing. Our meeting will be officially over after I pray, but I'll be right up front. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I ask for more, and not just more, but more and more, and more and more and more. Lord, we want you and your Spirit more and more, because everything that we need to live victoriously and to tell our story is found in you. Lord, I pray that your Spirit will just speak mightily, and there nobody here will leave the same way they came in. In Jesus' name, amen.